May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Romans chapter 7, the last 11 verses. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I hate, I do not wish to do, I agree with the law confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. But the good that I wish I do not do, and I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very evil that I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. I find in the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. I guess I'll come over here since we're all over here. I talked about this on Sunday morning, so it's not dissimilar, but just a little bit for those who are CTKers. Throughout church history, those who've written about or spoken about Romans 6, Romans 7, and Romans 8, the vast majority of them have seen, is that in Romans 6, Paul kind of lays out a theological statement about being free from the power of sin, about what happened to him as a believer, what happened to us because of the finished work of Christ. And Romans chapter 8 is a more practical, how do you walk this thing out? But Romans chapter 7 is sort of a bridge chapter between 6 and 8, where Paul in Romans chapter 6 sort of lays out what happened to us in the finished work of Christ that set us free from sin's penalty and sin's power. But in Romans chapter 7, at some point, he kind of stops, begins to tell a story about his own struggle as a believer that brought him to understand what Christ had accomplished for him. And this verse is particularly verses 14 through verse 25 were that. It's kind of this is the truth. This is a little bit of the wilderness I had to go through to enter into the truth. It didn't make it more true. It was just my experience, which is common to so many believers. In those verses from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, those 11 verses, Paul uses the first person personal pronoun, I, me, mine, 36 times. That's a lot of times. As if the Holy Spirit's trying to use him to emphasize that even though when you become a new Christian, there are two things for sure that happen to you. There are a number of things. But in relationship to sin, there are two things that happen. One is that you're all given a new heart. You long for righteousness. That thing down inside of you that desires to live a life of holiness, that desires to please God, that's the new you in Christ. That's the new heart you've been given. It says, for your life, for you've died, and your life has been hidden, is hidden with Christ in God. Now in Christ, who is your life. And so because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, who makes Christ a reality to you, there is this new heart. You have a new heart that desires and longs for righteousness. Like I said Sunday, all those things in you that says, well, I ought to do this, those are really the want-tos. That represents the new creation. But you're also given a whole new ability to not sin. Not just a new desire for righteousness, but a new ability to walk in righteousness, a new power. As I mentioned Sunday, the law of sin that lives in our members, people say sin nature. I just read a book recently that talks about you don't have a sin nature. Well, the Bible never says you did. It says it's a law of sin. that may represent your primary nature before you became a Christian. It's just called the law of sin. It's just a truth. It's a supernatural law. And it supernaturally pulls at us. And in your own strength, you can't overcome it, period. And what Paul was saying was is that even though he had become a Christian, when he first became a Christian, he had a new heart for the Lord. He desired to do God's will. There were certain things he hated that weren't pleasing to God. Yet he found that he just couldn't do it. He couldn't stop doing and saying the wrong stuff and thinking the wrong stuff. And he couldn't seem to say and do and think the right stuff that he wanted to, even though it was in him to want to do it. New heart. And what he was saying was, is that even though I knew I had a new heart, I not yet really understood that I also had a new power. And that new power was supernatural and more powerful than the law of sin. Romans 8, 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. In verse 25, he says this again. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that then, on the one hand, I myself, and he goes on and says, Christians, churchgoers, sincere people who go to the altar calls all the time, commitment, teach Sunday school, do this stuff, can be the most ornery, self-centered, critical, rebellious, gossipy people in the whole wide world. And you think, well, what's the difference between them and a lost person? Well, they know the words, they sing the songs, they go to church. And they desire to do what's right. In general, lost people don't care. But there's a new thing in a person who's born again. But what a sad thing that is that but behind closed doors, the people who live with you and that are around you the most, they know what's really going on. And I hate to tell you this, but they're ratting you out to other people about what's going on when the drawbridge is pulled up. It's not really the secret that you think it is. And we call that life the I myself life. Paul said, I myself. 36 times he uses the word I, me, my, mine in those verses. That's not a coincidence. The Holy Spirit's did it on purpose. Is that there are a lot of people out there that are truly born again, that want to do the will of God and are very sincere, but they're trying to do it themselves. And it just doesn't work. They want to do God's will. They want to say, they want to think, they want to feel, they want to act in ways that they know are pleasing to God, but there's just this pull that's stronger than their sincere desire, commitment, dedication, willpower. The last time you bounced across the floor because you went to a charismatic service, some conference somewhere, it didn't seem to fix it. Because victory is a person. There's the difference between the I myself life and the Christ life. Those are the two things. There are those sincere believers, and unfortunately still the vast majority of Christians are living this kind of life, even those who, quote, claim to be Spirit-filled. They got an experience they can refer back to. All kinds of things go on in terms of gifts being released, but in terms of daily life, that's holiness, that's holy. That's the most supernatural life a person can live. That's much more miraculous than raising the dead or healing people who are blind. I've prayed for people who were blind who got healed. But not giving in the impatience and stuff like that, that's a bigger miracle than anything I've ever done praying for folks. But charismatics get the cart before the horse. We get it inside out or outside in or something. We need to understand, you're either living the Christ life, which is supernatural, or the I myself life. And if you're messing up and blowing it and all that stuff, it's because you're living the I myself life. There's only one solution to sin's power, and that's a greater power, and that power is a person. His name is Jesus, and he lives inside of you. That's when Paul comes to the conclusion of this chapter. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. That's his testimony. As a believer, who shall set me free from this body of death? And he gave the answer. Again, as I said, son, it's a who, not a what, not a principle, not a conference, not a seminar, not 427 steps. I mean, they can all be blessings, but you can't 12-step your way to victory. That's Islam. Islam's all about steps and disciplines and rigidity. And where's the miraculous power of it all? He said, who shall set me free from my death? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what Paul is saying in that chapter is, I had a new heart and I wanted to do God's will, but I didn't discover there was a new power. And then I realized that it wasn't a what anymore or a how, but a who. And the one who lived in me, who gave me a new heart, was also in me as the power to not sin. That's right. Amen, Lila. And I know that, Lila, you appropriate that power every day because she doesn't sin, does she? Linda. Regularly. Or minute by minute. Lord, we bless you, cause your word to sink deep in our hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.